letting go of everything of the world, all time and space. As you walk in through the door, hang on the peg outside all cares and all worries of the day. Leave behind all the things of the past. Forget the things of the future. Come into a state of stillness, right here, right now. In that place of stillness, perceive the light shining within you. It is Divine Mother who has made all of creation and spread herself out for everyone to see. All the vast infinity of multiplicity. But for this moment, shrink your mind to prime simplicity and see that light of truth shining within you. And see that light spreading out through every cell of your being, blessing it, creating health, harmony, balance, beauty. See every cell like a tiny bubble shining with light within it. Spread that light, let it continue to grow until every cell in this entire room is shining, resplendent with that light. Not only see it in your mind's eye, but stretch out in your feelings so that you feel as if your whole self takes up this entire room. Go on expanding it. Beyond this house, until it encompasses the entire city and all the beings in it, blessing everyone with that light that is within you and everywhere about you. Go on expanding that vision until you see this earth floating as a tiny bubble filled with that light. And going beyond, seeing solar system, galaxies as islands filled with that light. Until the entire universe stands as but a drop of that light, with other island universes all about it. Feel the expansion of your own consciousness. Understand you are one with that spirit. That is the spirit of the Divine Mother, the perfection in all creation, the light within all vibration. Know that you are that. Please pray after me. O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Divine Mother.
Divine Mother.
Beloved Jesus Christ.
Beloved Jesus Christ.
Blessed Master.
Blessed Master.
Beloved Mother.
Beloved Mother.
Saints and sages of all religions.
Saints and sages of all religions.
I bow to all of you.
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my mind thy temple.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my heart thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only king.
Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Ooh. peace,
peace,
bliss,
bliss.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us sit in quietness, feeling our oneness with that omnipresent Spirit and the presence of Mother and Master and those blessed ones whom we follow. Harmonizing our own vibration with theirs. Today, of course, is Mother's Day, and has had me thinking about motherhood, about our own beloved Guru, Mother, and about the infinite cosmic Mother. This is something that I wrote earlier today, entitled Mother's Day. Mothers are the fulfillment of love made manifest, going through death's door in order to bring about new life. What a blessed event to think of two cells becoming one, then one become the many. Building, a new body, a tiny babe. A beacon of light goes out and calls the soul to that newly constructing body, temple. Oh, what miracle happens in the womb of woman. Man but a helpless spectator to the blessed event. The body of woman grows, changes, accommodates new life. Could anything be more miraculous? Earthly mothers are mirrored reflections of their cosmic divine mother. In her womb of creation grows bodies of cosmic universes, island galaxies and spinning solar systems. Shining souls sparkle in her vast body. And those rare ones who go beyond identification with the womb of her creation, are born into her cosmic consciousness, forever to be one with their beloved Divine Mother. O blessed mothers, for all women are manifestation of Divine Mother, we lay flowers of devotion at your feet. All creation comes from your womb. You make life possible, and in you all find love and compassion. Mothers protect and care for their very own, and all creation is their very own. You have come from divinity itself. You are divinity manifest. May your light shine forever upon the sanctuary of our devotion. And from Whispers from Eternity. O Divine Mother, in thy lotus feet of blue light, the bee of my mind is engrossed. It is drinking the honey of thy motherly love. This royal bee of thine will drink no other honey but that which has graced by thy perfume. O Divine Mother, flying over all the gardens of my fancy, denying myself the honey of all pleasures, at last I found the ambrosia hidden in thy lotus heart. I have been thy busy bee, soaring through fields of incarnations, inhaling the breath of experiences. Now I will roam no more, for thy aroma has quenched the perfume thirst of my soul. In the West, of course, we have come up in the Judeo-Christian mode of thinking about God, and primarily it is a paternal God. But through history and continues on to India today, is the idea of the divine, excuse me, the divine mother. As my mother explained the trilogy, divine father is spirit unmanifest. It is pure spiritual consciousness without physical manifestation, without astral manifestation, without causal manifestation. But God, in exploring himself and manifesting himself, put himself into creation. And through that act became the divine father as spirit unmanifest and divine mother manifest. Out of that sprung all thoughts, all energy, and all material manifestation. And through that, condensed into tiny bodies, were great vast souls that gradually became identified solely with those individual bodies. And because of that, a veil of ignorance came over their consciousness to the point where they had completely forgotten their divine origins and were completely engrossed within the physical manifestation. And if not in the physical manifestation, then in the astral, the energy light body. And if not in the astral, then the causal or the idea thought body. All these are containers, so to speak, for the consciousness and draw a veil of separation between ourselves and that infinite spirit. Now, through free will, we have assumed this veil of ignorance, but also through free will, we might free ourselves. Now, many souls have gone many, many incarnations, wandering away from God, and has a vast subconscious reservoir that denies the existence, the presence, the unity with that spiritual consciousness. So to reverse tracks and make our way back to God is not a simple or an easy thing to do, because we have to confront everything that we have done in going out from God. Now, considering that we have traveled for generations outwardly from God, that might seem an impossible task. But there is a third aspect to this creation, and that is the Messiah. It is the Christ, or the Anointed One, the firstborn of every creature that was involved in the creation of all creation, but stands perfect in it, does not have the veil of ignorance within it. And that light is spread out through all creation. And it is within you, and it is within me. But the veil of ignorance keeps us from realizing that. As I say, for those few adventurous souls who reach out for something greater, reach out for something more meaningful, then this grace, this Messiah, this Anointed One, is available to pick that one up through grace and begin to give experiences within the divine consciousness. And through those experiences, we gradually become convinced that we are not made up just of this body. We are not made up just of the mind. We are not just made up of energy or emotions, but we are made of divine stuff. In a series on cosmology, Carl Sagan explained that the only place that gold could be made was in the sudden explosion of stars, that what it took to create gold could only be made manifest there. And so that this star stuff is spread out all through the universe and is embedded, some of it, in this earth. In the same way, God in his forge has forged spiritual manifestation. And that is in you. It is like the gold of the earth, only it is the gold of the Spirit that resides right inside of you. But who is willing to go in and dig after it? Now you might say, well, why would God make it so difficult to find him? The truth is that we ourselves have played the game of hide and seek, that we ourselves have given instructions for the veil of ignorance to come across. However, we have forgotten that. It is like children who have chosen to play a game, and then as a result of the game that they were playing, they got lost, perhaps got injured, and suddenly they're frightened, and they don't even remember the original purpose of the game that they went out to play. But they're just in a world of hurt in that moment. And in likewise, we as souls also become enmeshed in this world. We assume this guise of being human. And gradually we forget who and what we truly are. But it doesn't change the fact. It doesn't change the fact that we are made up of God stuff, even as gold is made up of star stuff. It doesn't change the fact that we have an eternal connection. Wynn was telling me the other day about an invention that somebody has made that can draw energy out of the air and propel a car. Well, whether this is true that this person has done this or not, it made me think of our own medulla. And this medulla, which is the first cell of the ovum and the spermatozoa that come together, creates first the medulla and then all the rest of the body is created from that. It is from this medulla that we draw in life force. This is the reason why yogis and other great saints down through the years are able to stay in a state of suspended animation without breathing, because they are tuned in to this direct life force in such a way that food and air and other things we generally think of as necessary for life are not needed, so that these yogis can be buried underground without air, without food, without sunlight, none of it, and survive for many, many days. And this has been proven over and again. That great yogis can stop their pulse, stop their breathing upon command, and all of these things are true. That great yogis can even levitate themselves and lift up into the air. Now, these seem like marvelous things, and from our standpoint, they are. But these do not even hold a candle to what is possible in the human consciousness as it puts its full attention upon the divine consciousness. Because not only does the divine mother have the veil of delusion that has taken this one spirit and given it the image of the multiplicity of all creation, but also the divine mother, it has that cosmic consciousness within her. She has that perfection within her. And so if we put aside the things of the outer and just seek the inner, then we will have that revealed to our consciousness. And we can know it for ourselves, not because I have said it so, not because others have said it so, but because we have realized it within the laboratories of our own mind, within our own soul. Isn't that wonderful? It's a tremendous promise. And yet we tend to be so preoccupied with this world that we can't even take any time or the energy, make the intention in order to seek that out. If we could but once touch what that consciousness is, the profound peace, the joy, the upliftment, the realization, the wisdom, everything that comes through that cosmic consciousness, we would think, my God, why am I bothering with toys when I could be dwelling in this kingdom? But you see, this delusive spell is profound. It is profound. And every time we seek to go beyond it, it seeks to beguile us with new strategy. Now, in reality, all we are facing is ourselves. It is not an outside delusive force, so to speak. There is not a Satan who stands aside and tries to tempt us, but rather we are facing all of those desire natures that we ourselves have sown within the garden of our own minds. So you see, it takes an absolutely dedicated mind. Now, in the past, this has been reserved for those who are renunciants only, and those who are willing to go into caves. But Lhari Mahasya brought it to the householder, to those of us who have preferred to stay in the world. And this is a wonderful thing, a wonderful thing. So it is our blessed privilege to be a part of these teachings, what makes us be in the world, but not of the world. It is with great joy that I come to you today. Great joy. For embedded within my own consciousness is the joy of the Spirit. In these past weeks and months, I have sat in my room and completely absorbed in the oneness with the spiritual light and the spiritual love. Now, I had a little bit of a tug of war with myself. You know, I've been so used to being active, and I've never had just one job at a time. I've usually had two or even three. And so I'm used to being quite busy in the world, and there are certain things that you're used to producing in the world. So in this new stage of my life, it's been a bit of a struggle at times to think, well, what good am I? I'm sitting here and feeling God's absorption, you know, but where's the proof? You know, what am I doing all this for? But there's been different ways that God has told me about how this has been productive. One is I was reading in a wonderful book on Rajashri, and it was letters that Master was writing to Rajashri, but one was a description of one of the nuns who was going out with Master into the grounds of Mount Washington, and there was Rajashri meditating. And he just took her hand, and they silently ran past them until they were out of earshot. And he said, I don't want to disturb him. He is doing more good in this silent meditation on God than all the money that he has donated, and he helped tremendously in terms of the organization and being able to keep it afloat, but it's helping more in his meditation than all the money that he donated. Isn't that a wonderful thing? There is a level of creation that's beyond this physical that is of light. And in that light, things spread out. Things are evident there that appear to be invisible here. Have you ever wondered, when you've gone to a particular place and you've just felt good being there, there's something uplifting about that place. And your mind searched to reason, why is it that I feel this and experience this? Or in contrasting, that you go to a certain place and it just feels bad. Perhaps it feels very negative, even evil. And there again, there is nothing on the outside that would really tell you why that's true. But underneath all of this physical creation is the manifestation of light. And within that level, there is this light and dark vibration that goes back and forth. And it's as if, I don't know a lot about computers, but I understand that there's a program that supports all the other programs. And you go underneath everything else in order to get that, and it has its own language. The astral light and the astral world is like that. It's underneath all this physical cosmos, and it's the language by which everything in the physical world becomes manifest. And so it's on that level that things become very apparent, very obvious, that may seem difficult or somehow confusing on this physical level, or unexplainable. So when we go inside, we begin to see on that level of vibration, but not even just that level of vibration, but we go beyond it to the causal realm, where we see those subtle thoughts and ideas that have gone into creating the astral cosmos that resulted in these physical cosmos. Now that may all seem complicated to the mind in hearing it, but when you go into deeper states of meditation, those things begin to reveal themselves to you. They become self-evident. And in that self-evidence comes the truth about creation, the nature of creation, and the spiritual world that it's all spawned from. So Divine Mother has all of this complexity. Now, if we were to have to go out, you know, scientists will spend their entire life examining just one tiny aspect of creation. It's not a matter of going out and beginning to understand all the aspects of creation. To some extent, this is a canard. This is a fool's errand. Rather, it is to return back into the simplicity, because the intellectual mind has not the capacity to understand the divine mind. Rather, the intellectual mind must become still. And through that stillness, then these revelatory experiences begin to happen. I have some quotes here from Mother that Larry brought here tonight. And it shows the power within experiences when somebody has devoted their whole mind toward God. Mother speaks of her master, Paramahansa Yogananda. I remember the many years that I sat at Master's feet. Sometimes I was in Seattle. Occasionally I would go down and see him, but in all my life I never have seen him more than a dozen times. And yet look at the tremendous impact, look at the tremendous impact that he has made on my life. And whenever I was with him, time and space stood still. And there was nothing but God, and infinite peace, and infinite bliss. And whenever I go back to those hours in my memory, in my consciousness, I can hear his voice speaking just as clearly as though he stood before me in the flesh. I can hear the words of wisdom which he poured forth. Some of them I remember, but few by comparison. But that isn't important. The fact is that my love for God and him was so great. My communion with him, my oneness with him, was absolutely so perfect that he was never separated from me. And he lifted me up and he took me with him. Why? Because of that faith. Because of that faith and that love. This is a vision of Master. Just recently, I was going through some of my papers and I found a description of a vision or a dream that I had in 1956 in a motel room in Eugene, Oregon. I had been receiving things from God very greatly. He had been talking to me. All of a sudden, I went into a sort of dreamlike state. And for the first time since the night of his Mahasamadhi, the night that he passed away, I heard the telephone ring and I heard his voice. And I was so thrilled to hear him speak that I started to cry. I said, Master, is it really you? And he said, yes, it is. And then strangely enough, even though I was talking to him over the telephone, I could see him in vision. I could see him as though he stood right before me. He looked very, very concerned. And he said to me, I want you to keep on receiving just as you have been. You do just as you have been doing. I said, what do you mean, Master? Do you mean to listen to the voice of God through my intuition, to you speaking to me, and then go to the Bible and have the truth revealed to me? Yes, he said, that's what I mean. And this was in 1956, mind you, before all these things started. He said to me, you will have much to go through, but but you will be protected in all things and have all power over evil. And so it has been. It has been touch and go, and sometimes the forces which I have battled have been beyond human belief, human conception. I have not told everything to anyone, believe me. Now, not everyone has to go through what I've been through. I've told you this many times before. So these things that I'm telling you are truth, but they are not to instill fear in your mind, because, as I have told you before, I had something special to go through in terms that would reveal the actual truth of what the Christ taught, what was revealed in here. So mine was a little different than everyone else's. Each one goes through their own crucifixion on their own cross in their own way. But it isn't just like this, believe me, although it may have some manifestations in a small way. Anyway, all of a sudden I was talking to him. A young girl came rushing in. She had great fear in her face. She said that she had been with Master when he was talking to me, and that right alongside of him she had seen Satan manifest himself. Then other young people appeared and came running in, all in fear. And I felt the power of this fear, and I felt the power of evil upon me. And I struggled with it, and I said, "You must let me go. Go away and leave us alone." But still it wouldn't happen. I even felt someone take my hand and try to pull me, as I had absolutely in full consciousness once before. Finally, I broke away. And the relief was just tremendous. And as I gained control over the evil force, it was as though that force left all these young people who had come to me for protection. They all told me that Master had sent them to me and had told them that I would protect them. There was a door in this room, and I felt directed to go and open it. When I opened it, I saw standing inside of this oblong closet a young man. He had on dark trousers and an almost white coat. He was fair to look upon, and he came toward me. I recognized him as one of the students I had when we first started our center meetings. This young man said to me once that he was meditating, that Satan had appeared to him, had told him he would not let me take him to God. Then he, Satan, would never let go of him. And certainly it proved out to be exactly that way in the things that came to pass later on. He came from this closet, and as he came toward me, he bowed and smiled. I felt the full force of the concentration of the evil power that we had just experienced in him. I cried out suddenly, "God, Christ, Guru!" And it was such a real thing, such a real dream, a real vision, if you will, that Father woke me up. And he said, "Why did you say that?" I had said this right out loud. I told him of the experience, and he asked me to write it down, which I did. I haven't written very much down in the way of experiences that I have had been through, but this was one of them. And I had forgotten all about it until I came across it recently. So everything in that dream or vision has come to pass, and it's amazing that he said to me, "You will have much to go through," because certainly I have. You know, in reading this, it reminds me of Mother so much, that she was a human being, that she had her own children that she was mother of, but she also had her spiritual children, all of us. And in that spiritual motherhood, sometimes she would play the one who would just love us, who would just wipe away the tears or the hurts, clean up the cuts and the bruises and send us off. Or she might be the stern disciplinarian who would warn us about dangers that were coming up. All of the different ways that she could be with us. But most of all, she demonstrated that God is both human and divine. Now, there is a part of our mind that does not accept this easily. It wants to contest the fact. When it looks at ourselves, when we look at ourselves, we cannot think this is divinity. But it is that very thought that keeps us separated from God. To realize that we are that divine consciousness that has become manifest in humanity is our ultimate goal. But this is a thing of realization and not just mental acceptance. For the human ego to say, "I am God," is not correct. But for the human consciousness to affirm to itself, "I am one with God," this is true. And it is not until realization dawns within the consciousness that the truth of this can be fully realized. But really, God is infinite. And so realization of that truth is something that we go further and further on. Sometimes I say that when I came to Mother, that I wanted to get to the bottom of it all. And just at the point when I think I've gotten to the bottom of something, the bottom drops out and it opens up into the whole new vast realm. And so it goes on and on. Now, in a human sense, this can seem disconcerting. But from a divine sense, it's absolutely thrilling that whatever joy that I have, whatever bliss that I have, whatever oneness with God that I have, that when I think that that's all that it could be, it suddenly opens out into a vast realm that's beyond anything that I realized up until then. You see, it's this human mind that wants to put containment on things. That wants to put limits on things. So when you go into the temple of your own silence of meditation, do not think at any point that you have it all, but rather you have touched a part of that oneness. What we can achieve is to come into full oneness with that spiritual presence. When we do that, there is no longer this tug-of-war that goes on inside of us, this war between the ego and the divine consciousness, but rather we become a unified instrument for that divine consciousness. The tug-of-war is over in that sense. But if God wishes it, then we will go on and we will continue, and we will have the tug of war in the outer universe as we help other souls uplift in their consciousness. It's been a very interesting time for me in the sense that as I go through these different experiences, I'll have different things come up in my own body and in my own consciousness. And then I'll inevitably, within a couple of days after that started, I'll talk to somebody and they'll describe exactly what I've been experiencing inside. And you could say this is coincidence, except it happens time after time after time. And so what Mother had explained was that that is the consciousness of the one who has come here to serve that can take on for others some of their load. And in that way, help them toward their own evolution, toward their oneness, toward the divine. And in this way, we can each be an instrument. That may not be for everybody. I think that is a rare occurrence these days. But the fact is that we can always keep our mind malleable toward what can we do to help? Now, we, in our human sense, don't always know. Sometimes it can just be an act of kindness. Sometimes it can be giving someone some love or a prayer, the tenderness of our own soul, whatever it might be. Sometimes it might be a stern warning, because that's what's needed also. But other times, it can be just the oneness that we experience in our God self and letting that light shine out. And in that way, we are all the feminine. All souls are feminine. And the only masculine, the only male, is spirit unmanifest. And so in that viewpoint, we are all divisions and aspects of the Divine Mother. So whether you are worshiping God as Divine Mother, the Cosmic Divine Mother, the one who has spread herself before us in all her beauty and glory, as the Cosmic Consciousness of Divine Mother, or whether you are worshiping the form in a human sense through love and service to any particular form of the Divine Mother, that for me, a powerful transformation has occurred by seeing all women as manifestations of the Divine Mother. And certainly this is the way that Master and Papa and so many others cultivated the vision of seeing all women as being Divine Mother. And it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's uplifting. And it represents the highest and best in all humanity. So on this day of honoring and indeed worshiping Divine Mother and motherhood and what human mothers go through, that none of us could be here without human mothers, and that human mothers give of themselves to such great capacity, with patience and love and sometimes stern words, but always with an eye that they want to see their children do well. They want the best for their children. And because of that, we owe a great, great debt of gratitude towards our own mothers, but also the Divine Mother, the archetype of all mothers, for her guiding us on our own spiritual path, that again, both Papa and Master sought out the Divine Mother above all other manifestations. Lois was telling me a wonderful story. She's in Hawaii visiting with her niece. And she was saying in school, they were telling us about, in Sunday school, they were telling us about hypocrisy. And this young girl is part Hawaiian and part white. And she said they were telling us about hypocrisy. And so Lois said, well, what does that mean? And she said, well, you know, in Hawaiian, they worship trees and water and rocks, all as spirit, you know, and that's hypocrisy. And so Lois gave a wonderful lesson. She says, well, hold up your hand. And so her niece held up her hand. She says, how many fingers do you have? Well, I have five. And what are those fingers attached to? Well, they're attached to my hand. And what's your hand attached to? Well, my arm. You get the point where I'm going to. It's the whole body. Is there any part that you wouldn't say is not you? And she said, no. And she said, well, your fingers are just like the trees and the rocks and the rivers, and they're a part of God. They're manifestations of God, but they're a part of the whole body. And so when you see a tree, you can see that that too is God. Isn't that wonderful? And so in this way, she's helping to expand this young woman's vision of what God is. Now, God is both manifest in the world, but it's also beyond it. And so we too should see God as the manifestation in this world, but also that God is beyond this world. So we don't stay limited to the world of form, but we go directly to the Spirit. So let us lift our eyes up on high. Let us not just see the Divine Mother as a manifestation of this world, but let us also see Divine Mother in her cosmic consciousness, in that universal consciousness. Let us see that substrata of light that permeates everything. And by attuning that to our own minds, that we might be guided rightly to create mansions of light within and everywhere about us.